Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast.
Yay!
We are in front of a live audience.
A live forced audience, who we're making applaud. It's like there's actually not a sign that flashes, but Daniel's giving the stare and the glare that you will applaud.
Okay, well, everyone here is getting a New Churches koozie, a New Churches fan, a couple, you know, some swagger. Do you know what a koozie is?
I don't want to ask.
Right there.
It sounds
right there. A koozie.
That's, you know, a koozie.
Yeah, yeah, it's a koozie.
You're gonna get a koozie. You're gonna get a koozie, and you're gonna get a
All
koozie.
Right. You know, and because we're in front of a live audience, right? Everyone's getting one of those, and our listeners.
So we
might
bought
be,
them off with like a $3 drink holder.
Okay, so for everyone listening online,
all right, there's headsets there too. Don't
no, it's a fan. Actually,
a fan?
It is pretty hot in here. You can connect it to your phone, and
there's nothing
and
more useless
cool.
than a fan that
Not
connects to your phone.
So if because
I'm opening this right now. If I didn't have it yet, I wouldn't do this. I'm opening it right now.
All right. So if you want some swag, all you got to do is leave us a question, speakpipe.com/newchurches. If you're on your mobile device or if you're on your computer, go to newchurches.com, hit the sidebar on the right, leave us a question, and we will mail you out some swag. All right, so we have a question.
Yeah, we have a question.
From,
by the way, it looks like this
you
fan.
You can introduce yourself.
You're not going to let me finish. This fan will plug into Samsung, Android devices, and an iPhone. All right, so I plug it in, and then what do I do to make this fan go?
Put it into your...
I did. I plugged it in. This is garbage. Oh, sorry. But he's here right now. He's plugging to plug it in. It's unidirectional. You don't have to plug it in.
Just watch.
Wait, here it is. I'm watching. This is great. This is the now you get your germs all over my phone, dude. It doesn't work. You're giving out. Look at that. It works. All right. So like this is sucking my battery.
Yeah, isn't that
so
amazing?
Fast.
Though? Isn't that amazing?
So it's like just a fan.
Yeah.
So okay.
That's
so
like
what,
diva. This is like the best picture of Ed Stetzer right now.
This is pretty exciting.
You're gonna
Could
put
you,
water on your.
I get a little, all right, sorry, I like this. All right, so I've lost focus right now. Let's see. Here's
yes.
the fan. Can you hear it? All right,
oh,
here we go.
Hey, that actually sounded pretty cool.
Yeah, it is cool. All right, sorry, we got to do
all
the
right, question. Let's do it.
Sorry. Here, let me make sure I keep you cool with this fan while you ask the question.
Thank you.
My name is Scott Wakefield. I'm from East Tennessee, and we are in a rural multi-site context. So my question is this: in what ways has it been problematic that modern models for multiplication and multi-site have ossified around megachurches and not the 90%+ of churches that need to be learning how to structure for multiplication?
Now, hold on a second. The word ossified, that's a word they use in Eastern Tennessee. So it's kind of a fan. Where in Eastern Tennessee? Come back up. Where in Eastern Tennessee are you from?
We're in Greenville, Tennessee.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
is... between Knoxville and the Tri-Cities up in the far
Yeah, that's like in the middle of nowhere, though.
Correct.
I mean, you are not far from, like, that's where the Snake Handle and News Story was kind of up there, correct?
Some Newport, Tennessee
yep.
Churches. Actually, we've made documentaries. Not our congregation.
Right, right. But nearby there. So that's, like, really in the rural area. And you're multi-site?
Yes,
that's
technically.
Technically. I'm not really sure
we have two
how
campuses.
That
yes.
makes you multi-site. So yes. I'm not really yeah. sure how...
It does make you multi-site.
We've only been so for... 2 weeks.
So it's multi-site, and it may not work out, is what basically you are.
Exactly how I feel.
Oh, no, that's super helpful. It's super helpful. Okay, good. Thank you so much for your question. Daniel, to you.
All right. It's an interesting question because you think, how does information get sent out? Like, how do we hear about the models? How do we hear about successful models? Well, it's partly due to platform. And partly due to, and our previous question on episode 369 was about social media and celebrities and what that all looks like. So that's obviously one side of it, right? In terms of getting the information out and who gets stage time. I mean, part of it is, how do you know, like, how does Todd Wilson and Dave Ferguson know? I mean, they know everyone who's on the stage, but it's not like they just met them, right? So part of it is there's that, right? The networking side, the connection side. All that aside, though, I think one of the most exciting things in the multi-site movement is rural multi-site. And I think when you look at where multi-site is going and the greatest potential that it has right now is not in video mega, because mega churches that are multi-siting are trying to figure out micro sites there because they realize they can't keep on raising $1 million to do a launch large campus. And a lot of them will be like, well, what, you know, we're a mega church. What do we do well? We do big church well. Well, to actually multiply big church, you need a lot of money, a lot of people, and the pipeline in terms of talent is slim, and there's a lot of risk. So when you think about even what large churches are doing, they are going after microsites, right? Even some of the what I write about on mid-sized communities, I mean, that 20 to 50 person size space is huge. Right, that 20 to 50 person size space is huge to figure out talent development, to figure out future launch teams. So I think rural multi-site, and Ed, I mean, you're leading up a Rural Matters initiative.
Yep. We got a Rural Matters Institute at the Billy Graham Center and working with Assemblies of God, some Vineyard folks. Actually, we've got a little council of leaders from about nine different denominations. So I think that the bigger issue is an issue that does come down to philosophy, is that larger churches in Western culture tend to be the ones who lead the way. We saw a lot of the diffusion of innovation take place. I'm writing a scholarly research project that looks at the diffusion of innovation in modern evangelicalism from like 84 forward. And so, I mean, it is diffused through, and it was actually intentional. There were teaching churches that would then tell you how to do this and you go to their seminars. The reality though is when we look at the actual statistical numbers, and I only had access to a couple denominations numbers, but most church planting is actually done by smaller churches. So the 90% you reference are actually doing most of the church planting. It's just not making lists. It's not, you know, and again, to be fair, I made the lists. So, you know, I made the leading church planting churches in the country, and I tried to make sure that there were some smaller ones on there, but really they weren't that small. So when I planted, I mean, I'd say the typical church that supported us was 200 to 300 people. They got behind us. So look at multiplication in two ways, multi-site, which is what you're launching out on, and then church planting. But in both cases, it's how do we multiply internally? And I think what happens is that the larger church has more people, which is obviously self-evident, but the larger church has more people who therefore are open to be multiplied out or multiplied from. And so what happens is there's a sense when you're running 200 to 300, they're like, okay, well, you know, we've got really 150 active people and then another 100 are inactive. But you just take that same church, the same percentages, and you multiply that by 10, you've got a lot of people who actually are not engaged and involved, who want to be, and you can send them out. So sometimes multiplication is easier, but I think ultimately it's better when it's at a smaller level. When we were in Erie, Pennsylvania, we planted one church, Mill Creek Community Church. And then when we came on our third anniversary, we planted two daughter churches, and we felt it. I mean, it wasn't like, and again, I love J.D. Greer, I'm for J.D. Greer, but I preached at his church the weekend. He asked a bunch of people to leave and to go plant churches, right? And I praise God for that, the sending church. But you know, if 100 people left, J.D. Greer didn't notice them. I mean, when we had about 20% of our church leave on one Sunday and not come back, we noticed it. But not only did we notice it, it was great because then new leaders stepped up into those roles. So it was like, you know, you're having a baby and there's recovery time, but there's also beautiful, wonderful things that come from it. So I do think that if you want to see a movement of church planting and of multi-site, it's going to be more, the typical church in America is actually under 100 in size. It's a little smaller in Canada. And so it's under 100. Once you get to the 200 to 300, you've got the vast majority of churches are going to be under 5 for sure. And so I think that's the space and the place, particularly where you are in rural Tennessee. I mean, you don't have, I mean, there might be some, you got that multi-site church over in Virginia that has some in the Northeast. Yeah, I forget his name, but up there, you know, there are some, but by and large, it's going to be normal churches that get a passion for multiplication and multiply sites and churches out of there. We can't leave them off. But I don't think they're fully left off, because I know in denominations have like districts or judicatories or regions. So, you know, I'm trying to think of, you know, Southern Baptists would be strong there. Assemblies of God, Church of God would be real strong over there. So the Church of God, church planting leadership is asking mid-sized churches and smaller churches to be engaged and involved. They're just not making any list, and they're not speaking at the Exponential Conference where we're broadcasting live.
However, the denominational meetings that we go to of different denominations, oftentimes that's where these smaller churches who are multiplying are being showcased.
Yeah. So we can think of, like, we had our Rural Matters thing, and there were probably 5 or 6 churches you've never heard of, an Anglican church, a Vineyard church, a Southern Baptist church, a couple of non-denominational churches, and they were talking about how they were planting churches and planting sites. You never heard of them. We're trying to elevate them through Rural Matters, and people can go to bgcruralmatters.com. We're trying to elevate models like that. He's in a rural area, so those kind of models do matter. By the way, that wasn't a stereotypical comment of Eastern Tennessee. Where he is literally where some of those news stories came from, as he kind of evidenced and talked about. So don't want everyone sending me letters saying, are you saying everyone lives? No, I'm just saying where he lives is, and he knows it. That's right in that area, right up the road. So I do think that those stories may not be told at an exponential conference. I think we tried to put some more in the book, Planting Missional Churches. I think they're certainly being told at some denominational meetings, but we got a long way to go. And I think he's right. We need to remember that if you want to mobilize church in America, it's not mobilizing the 100 that are running above 7,000. It's mobilizing the 250, 300,000. If you want to use evangelical churches, just 200,000 evangelical churches, maybe a little less than that, but mobilizing them for ministry and mission.
Yeah. At the workshop tomorrow,
Of you will be able to go to because we're recording this.
Yes. But at the time, we're talking about the six practices. I'll be speaking on the six practices of churches that multiply. Now, for everyone listening in, it's from a book that Ed and I wrote together.
We call Multiplication it six Today. Silver Bullets Movements for Church Multiplication.
Multiplication Today, Movements Tomorrow.
Multiplication Today, Movements Tomorrow. It's a black book. Six silver bullets.
So all you have to do is text the number. Text the word new churches, one word, to the number 888-111, and you'll get a free download of that book. Now, the reason I bring that up is when you look at the six practices of churches that multiply, none of the six practices and none of the barriers that we then talk about afterward is church size.
Yeah.
In fact, when we looked at the churches that multiplied in their first 5 years of existence, these were churches who were likely, I mean,
yeah, these are plants.
These are plants. Their first 5 years. Yeah. Who multiplied in their first 5 years. So did they have a big building?
Yeah.
Did they have millions of dollars? Church size didn't get into any of that.
Yeah, I think right at his question gets at is, in church planting today, we know church plants and new churches plant churches, and we study on that. And we know big churches get excited and plant churches.
Yeah.
It's that middle space. And I think that middle space is the unmobilized that we've got to mobilize for a greater movement of multiplication in North America today.
And I think one of the things we can do in that middle is the first practice is kingdom partnerships, kingdom collaboration. So what does it look like in our cities? And sometimes, depending on your denomination, you might collaborate better with those in your area. There might even be some peer networking or prayer, but by and large, I haven't seen a lot of denominations say, hey, we are going to pray for our city. We are going to partner with other churches across denominationally and look at funding together, assessing together, sending out. I mean, we're going to send people out because this area needs a new church.
Yeah, I think you don't see as much of that in areas like where he is. You know, three big denominations would be, you know, Assemblies of God, Church of God, and Southern Baptist. I mean, East Tennessee is the center of the Church of God Pentecostal universe, and not quite where he is, but a little more down to Church Chattanooga. But the reality is that by the time we get to 2019, most of those denominations are functioning more like a diocesan system,
yeah,
which is this is sort of our field and our parishes and don't mess with them. Whereas they originally started their networks, they called them associations or districts, were actually originally started as mission endeavors. Mm. They're not planting churches much anymore. So sometimes you have to work within that if you can, if there's an openness. Sometimes you have to go outside of that because that openness isn't there anymore.
Fantastic. Well, thanks again for listening into the podcast. And thank you for our participating, our live audience from Exponential.